Icelandic musician Steini Teig has spent most of his musical life touring with folk and rock bands, including an appearance on The Tonight Show with the Monsters and Men. Now he's turned his sights on jazz with his duo CDs with Icelandic vocalist Silva, with a last name I won't even attempt to pronounce. I talked with Steini about their CD, More Than You Know, a dreamy, romantic take on some of their favorite standards. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I was determined to pronounce Steini and Silva's full names, and this was the result. So, before we jump in, pronounce your names at regular tempo, but then say them very slowly, because I would like to say your full names, but I want to do it correctly. So say it the way you would say it. Go.
So my name is Steingrimur Teig, but I go by Steini Teig. And then Silva Þórðardóttir.
Say that very slowly.
So Steingrimur Teig, or Steini Teig, and Silva Þórðardóttir.
I'm sorry, that is just going to be so hard. That is like, and I've studied languages, but I can just tell this is a whole other thing for me. That's one more time, really slowly, because I might not even do it. Go ahead.
Okay. Steingrimur Teig, Silva Þórðardóttir.
This is when I gave up with my foray into speaking Icelandic. I've been to Iceland
A
couple of times, yes. I'm absolutely smitten with your country, but I've never been there to play music. I was actually hopping on a ship that hired me to come play a concert.
Oh, really?
So I flew over, got on the ship, played a concert, got off in another country. It was that kind of thing. So I don't know the jazz scene there. My knowledge of Iceland is more of your landscape, the beautiful country, and what I was so swept away with that, but not the music scene, except the music that I've heard that's come out of Iceland. So talk about the jazz scene there. I'm really ignorant of that.
Well, it may not surprise you that it's fairly small. It's not enormous, but it is there. And there are some very passionate people, you know, who just kind of keep the flame lit, you know. And there's a jazz festival in Reykjavik. And there are some other jazz festivals as well. And there's a school that teaches it. And Icelandic jazz musicians, they tour quite a bit. You know, I think we're, you know, fairly well connected with, you know, Europe, especially, you know, the continental Europe. And Scandinavia, and so, yeah, it is there, but, you know, it's very hard to just play jazz in Iceland.
Hard to just play jazz here.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better about it.
No, absolutely. I think that a lot of people, a lot of musicians love jazz, and if they could completely play jazz all the time, they would, but they supplement that with other kinds of music. So I think that's very common, even here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I guess that makes sense. I came late to jazz, kind of. I was in, you know, a garage rock band, you know, when I was a teenager, and we had, you know, I was singing in a in a rock band, and until the neighbors complained and suggested that maybe that, you know, they said the band was fine, but they strongly suggested a new singer. So hopefully things have improved a little bit since I was 15.
Boy, everyone's a critic, even the neighbors. That's harsh.
Well, I think, you know, it was probably justified. I mean, we were in a tiny cul-de-sac and practicing all day at, you know, probably ridiculous volumes. And you know, we were just being teenagers, I think.
Oh, that is hilarious. Well, what was your first jazz? What got you into jazz?
Well, probably my parents. I just, I probably didn't know it was jazz. When we got a CD player, the first CDs they got were Nat King Cole. And, you know, mostly, you know, Mona Lisa era Nat King Cole, but also stuff that sounded more jazzy, you know, like Route 66 and things like that. And I listened to that over and over again. And there was, yeah, Dave Brubeck was in there, some live concerts, and Stefan Grappelli. One day, it was around one Christmas. I don't know if this is a tradition in other countries, but we have this thing in Iceland, which is called the almond pudding or something, almond porridge, and it's a shared meal around Christmas, where there's an almond put into rice porridge, just one almond, and it's sort of snuck in, and whoever gets it gets a present. So it has to be something that anyone could get and be like, oh, nice, that's nice. So when I won, when I was around 10, I got the almond. It was an album. It was probably something, you know, one of these things, you know, yeah. It was a compilation album of Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn, but not performed by their band. You know, it was just by, you know, by random musicians. And so because I won it, it was mine. So it was my CD. So I listened to it over and over again. But again, I had no idea it was jazz, you know. And I mean, a lot of it kind of wasn't, I think. But it was really
their
nice.
And it was their compositions. Yeah. I love that as a jazz musician myself and as a jazz lover, I love that the thing that they thought would suit everybody, no matter who won, was an album of jazz compositions of Ellington and Strayhorn. I mean, that's a pretty hip gift.
Thank you.
1968 recording of the Duke Ellington Band on Billy Strayhorn's composition Daydream. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm talking with Icelandic musician Steini Teague.
Well, something that struck me with your CD is something that came to me, the multiple times that I visited Iceland, is that and I've thought about this with other writers and directors and everything, how much the landscape influences the art.
Right.
And yeah. I always think that, like, the Seventh Seal would have never been made in Italy or something like that. You know,
right.
It's like,
yeah.
It's all,
yeah.
You just, wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And so I know that you've played other kinds of music because I've listened to other groups, but there is this dreamy quality to this CD that's very beautiful and evocative, and it's difficult to do a whole CD of those kind of tempos and that kind of mood and keep the kind of the feeling shifting a bit to keep it interesting. But I kept thinking of Iceland. Even if I didn't know that you were Icelandic, I would have listened to this because
I remember that
I was talking to a British musician once, and he had just written a song, and it was very kind of mysterious and dreamy and all this. And he says, who am I going to get to sing on this? And we both at the same time said, someone from Iceland.
Really?
So both of us had this image of that kind of music coming out of Iceland, which I don't even know if that's true, but kind of that vibe. So speak to that and sort of, I think it took a lot of courage to jump in to make a CD like this and keep these tempos the way you did. Speak to that. Or maybe it's easy for you. I don't know. It would have been hard for me.
I think it's very interesting that you say this. We did think about it once we were kind of at the halfway point, and, you know, we had to decide, are we really going to do this? You know, is this, are we committed, you know? But it was very natural to embark on it. You know, it was, it seemed like a very normal thing to do.
Mm.
And we'd been, you know, just playing this kind of music. You know, we'd been doing up-tempo stuff as well, you know, but always a lot of ballads. And it just felt very normal and a natural progression. And and it just seemed like the kind of music we needed in our lives.
Mm.
Just at that point, you know, that we wanted to, you know, make this.
There's no love strange the change from major to minor. Every time we say goodbye.
Silva and Staney from their CD, More Than You Know. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
I think it's very hard from the outside to say how a landscape influences you, because the other place I can think of besides Iceland that has all these crazy landscapes is the United States, you know, and Canada and, you know, North America.
Mm.
Also has these really rugged and, you know, soaring mountains and vast swaths of wilderness and things like that. And that probably influences your music and you don't even know it, you know. And for a while, Icelandic musicians get asked this a lot, which is understandable, I think. And I think, yeah, for a while, you know, we would maybe get a little bit annoyed with it or say like, no, I influence my own music or whatever. But I think it's very normal to ask it, and it probably influences it, but it would take someone else to say exactly how. I mean, you just live in a place and you're in it, and that's your world. You know, it's normal. Mm.
Well, I thought about it when I was struck by this, because I thought of America, and America's huge, and we have so many landscapes. That's what's interesting,
because
that's the difference.
Right,
we have, I mean, I don't know every corner of Iceland, but I have a good feel for what the country looks like. And you can take somebody, it's why America has this, well, so many different kinds of people. Because you have the people who grew up in the Rocky Mountains, and they feel, maybe they do, or they move if they don't relate with that landscape, they feel that huge, the Rocky Mountains. Or somebody who grows up in the desert, or somebody who grows up, I grew up in Los Angeles, an urban sprawl. So I have, you know, I related a lot of energy and all of that. So it's interesting. So we have a vast variety of those kind of things. But I loved it, and I was fascinated with how you carried it off. And the two of you obviously had a similar sensibility, which drew you together to be able to do this kind of
there's
recording.
There's definitely a big overlap. Which is, which is why it works for us.
Yeah. What I also found interesting, and I was looking forward to asking you, I've found in my career and also talking to other musicians, jazz musicians, that audiences have evolved, of course, on what they want to hear in person. And they are in general, this is a terrible generalization, but I'm going to be reckless and say it anyway, that audiences are less, at least in jazz concerts, embracing of ballads, of a lot of ballads.
Okay.
I think in Peggy Lee's day or Julie London or something like that, they had a whole atmosphere that helped them. They not only had a collective knowledge of the repertoire, but if Peggy Lee was playing in a club, the club had lighting, the lights came down, it was a whole thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I find things are moving faster, people's attention spans, all of that. They will like it on a CD.
Right,
but I'm curious for you, because it's coming back to your country and my fascination with your country, of I'm wondering, are people more embracing of this kind of performance in person? Because I think of other Icelandic music that I've heard, and like I say, I don't have a vast knowledge of it, but I've heard a lot of things that have this dreamier, for lack of calling it something else, vibe to it. So I'm thinking, I wonder if those people embrace this kind of thing more, where Americans are like, next. And I don't know. I don't know, because I've never, I'd have to perform in your country to know, have a better feel. So tell me.
That is interesting. I have not thought about it. Again, for a similar reason, probably, that I hadn't thought or I couldn't articulate, you know, anything about landscapes and you know, influence. But I have played many times in the U.S., but with very different bands, you know. We're not jazz audiences at all.
If you're playing in Iceland, would people sit through an entire evening in a club with a lot of ballads in a row?
Yes. Yes, they would, yeah. But, I mean, if it was...
That's really my question.
If it was presented as that, you know, if they didn't go to a bar and expect, you know, to be, you know, to have like a rollicking good time, you know, with a thumping feet and hand clapping, you know, I think we'd be fine. As long as they knew what was about to go down, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm curious. Yeah. I'm really curious because it's interesting as an American when I travel to see, because I see, I mean, some people say audiences are the same everywhere. I don't agree.
No.
At least my audiences aren't. It's very different when I'm playing in Italy, when I'm playing in England, where I, like I said, hope to play in Iceland someday.
Yeah.
And it's, but I find it even different in America, city to city.
Yeah, yeah.
I find it different because, again, it's such a huge geography, you know, between things. There's a lot of, so the people in Kansas are going to react differently than the people in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, I find that, at least in my own experience. And I think that there's more, this is another generalization, we're going down this road, but a rock concert's a rock concert. So I think they're going to be more similar. I think if Taylor Swift does Wichita and then she does Chicago, her audiences are going to be more similar than what you and I might experience in something smaller because it's a thing.
And also, she's much further removed by necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
so it's all kind of this, it's a show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a huge, spectacular show. So when people are coming for that same reason, where people, if they come to an evening to see you two,
right,
they'd be coming for all kinds of reasons. Uh-huh. You know, they'd be thinking, you know, it'd be a couple who's romantic, somebody who's a jazz fan, that kind of thing.
Icelandic musicians Silva and Steini. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from the American Hotel in Sag Harbor, New York. Although we're broadcast on NPR stations, we're an independent production not funded by NPR. We're funded primarily by your donations. So please visit jazzinspired.com to chip in. No gift is too small. And please write a review on Apple Podcasts, which is the best way for us to spread the word about the show. 2025 marks our 25th anniversary on air. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to Jazz Inspired on your favorite podcast platform and email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Stride Queen. Visit judycarmichael.com for my complete concert schedule. My guest today is Icelandic musician Steini Teigr, whose latest projects have focused on standards from the Great American Songbook, even though much of his career has been spent touring with rock and folk bands. Here's one of my favorite standards, Deed I Do, from my CD, Come and Get It. I'm on piano and vocal with my sextet joining in. Do I want you? Oh my, do I? Honey, deed I do. Do I need you? Oh my, do I, honey? Deed I do. I'm glad that I'm the one who found you. That's why I'm always hanging round you. Do I love you? Oh my, do I? Honey, deed I do.
Do I, honey? Deed I do. I'm glad that I'm the one who found you. That's why I'm always hanging around you. Do I love you? Oh my, do I, honey? Deed I do. Oh honey, deed I do.
I'm talking with Steini Teigr about his CD, More Than You Know, a collection of standards performed with his musical partner for the project, Silva.
I was curious about, I don't even know what it means. On your CD, it said that you played a muted upright.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What do you mean by that?
It was just that the felt, you know, the, I don't know, it's just the damper.
Did you? Did you keep it all on the soft pedal, or did you actually mute? What did you do? I'm not sure.
There's just some fabric on the strings that just mutes it.
Yeah, and is that a regular thing? I mean, maybe that's my own ignorance as a pianist. I've never heard that somebody do so. I mean, I know there's prepared piano in classical music.
Not every piano is going to have it. Grand pianos have no use for it because then it doesn't sound like a grand piano anymore. There's no point.
Right, right.
But this was an upright. Many uprights, you know, for use at home would have what in Icelandic was called like a knight's muffler or something. You know, it's
interesting.
So it just muffles the sound and makes it takes away, you know, the sharpness. It's a lot more quiet and it sometimes does weird things, you know, with so sometimes many strings sound at once, you know, that you didn't intend to, so you get all these crazy overtones. And it's just an interesting sound, but you can't really do it live because it's just you just can't hear the piano, you know. But
right. But you did it for recording because you knew what would happen to the sound, and you thought that would be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? Wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I have never heard from a man spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing. In a melancholy way, that it might as well be spring. It might as well be.
Our original idea was to do just Wurlitzer and singing.
Yeah.
But we found out that there's a reason that people generally don't do that. You know, it's hard.
You know, and why is that?
It's just, it's not, it doesn't have nearly the expressive range of a piano. I mean, it has some, and it's a beautiful sounding instrument, but it doesn't have that many tones, and it doesn't have very many levels of loudness, you know. It's kind of like a guitar, but not as expressive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to complement it with something that I had, you know, one, had to be able to play, but two, didn't sound like a piano that much. Mm. So it kind of maybe the sound we were going for was more like a jazz guitar or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Except, mm-hmm. you know, I suck at guitar, so so we did this, and also because it's a strange sound, you know.
It is a strange sound.
Yeah.
No, so it was fun. It was great for me. I mean, this whole thing, I was so looking forward to this because it, just personally, it's the opposite of what I'm usually doing. You know, it's like, give me the bigger the piano, the yeah. more range of sound, let me at him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a grand in the other room. So right. to have somebody yeah. actually do, I worked my whole life to get away from uprights, but they right. have, mm-hmm. but they have their own, you know, it's funny, I've come full circle because I was talking to another pianist about this who has a grand and an upright. And I said, why? And he said he practices differently on the upright. And it does kind of open up certain things because
it
you
does,
don't.
Yeah.
So no, I've like, I've come full circle with it. So I was fascinated because I love the sound and I knew that it's, I knew you had muted it in some way, but I didn't know how. So I was curious about that. And that's how you got that yummy, juicy sound from it. That's fascinating. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, talk about some of your influences. And I have to tell you, I've been a Blossom Dearie fan forever. And one of the first people I heard when I moved to New York from Los Angeles was Blossom Dearie. And it was a great thrill for me. Yeah. And went on to know her and all of that. And so, but she'd been a hero of mine. And I've gone ages on this show with no one mentioning Blossom Dearie. And the last three people I've had on the show have talked about Blossom Dearie being a huge influence. And now you mentioned Blossom Dearie.
Okay.
So I'm having a Blossom Dearie moment that I'm so excited about. So, and because everybody hears something differently. We could all love Blossom. We all go in at a different spot.
Right.
So connect. So I want to know for you what you love about Blossom.
Yeah, there are so many levels to that.
No, it's true.
Yeah. She is one of the most fascinating piano players, I think. You can just, I can imagine. And I mean, obviously, the first thing anyone is going to hear is just that voice because it's so distinctive and you just instantly know it's her, which I think is a very, I mean, it's not always a good quality in singers, you know, not if they're horrible, but you know, it helps, you know, even if you're a really good singer, if you sound like everyone else, it's going to work against you. And with her, it's just like, boom, you know, one note, okay, it's Blossom Dearie. Mm. And of course she's not horrible, she's great, you know. And then it takes a little while to get past that because you're processing, you know, who is this person I'm hearing, you know, what's going on, and you know you have to decide whether you like it or not. And and then of course you get to the piano because it's really understated in a way, but there's always this galaxy brain harmony going on, you know. Once you, if you hear a song and it's just a pleasant jazz tune, and you think like, okay, I'd like to try to play like that, and then you sit down at the piano and you have, you know, realize you have no idea what's going on, you know, because it's so much more complicated than you, you know. It's not showy about, you know, the layers, but she rarely ever does things in an obvious way.
Where has the time all gone to? Haven't done half the things we want to. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time. This day was just a token too many words are still unspoken. Oh well, we'll catch
just when the fun is starting comes the time for parting. But let's be glad for what we've had. There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh well, we'll catch up some other time. Just when the fun is starting comes the time for parting. But let's be glad for what we've had.
Blossom Deary on piano and vocal from her CD, Blossom Deary Sings Comden in Green. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
At this point, there's nothing about Blossom Deary that I don't love, you know. So
that's beautiful. No, you expressed it beautifully. I think the point for me with Blossom is just to sort of jump on what you said, is that it's all deceptively simple, but none of it is.
Yeah,
because you just go, that is the coolest person alive. It's just everything she does is perfectly tasteful. And that's how she was, I can tell you, in person. Because she was very sort of, I was jumping in to find out all this stuff. And I even talked about her articulation, because the way she says words are so beautiful. You hear the beginning and the end without it seeming like received English. It's just perfect. And she was just, oh, that's because I grew up upstate New York. Even that, she just like, we're known for our good accent. It was like, what? You know, I'm going for this heavy insight or something. So, you happened to mention one of my favorite recordings, too, Bill Evans and Tony Bennett.
Oh,
those
God,
are such
yes.
classics. So that would appeal to you with this romantic side, I would think. Talk about this.
Yes. Bill Evans and Blossom Deary, of course, are in many ways really similar piano players. You know, just with this, kind of hidden depth, you know, things that sound good on the surface, but are also, you know, you can just, it's like a fractal. You can zoom in and there's always more details and there's always more things you see and always more than kind of meets the eye or the ear or whatever. And this recording, I just love the recordings that Bill Evans did with singers. And I often love when you have these truly great musicians who were their classic albums or one thing, you know, like the Bill Evans Trio, you know, or whatever he did with Miles Davis and all those things. But when you take them and put them in a situation that's a little bit random, it's often just so fascinating to see what they do. And for Tony Bennett as well. I mean, just, you know, a great singer to begin with, but he's just used to just filling these, you know, arenas with this huge voice and just kind of belting over these enormous arrangements. And then, you know, you put him in a room with this very introverted piano player and just to see how they kind of dance around each other. And yeah, it's, and also it's unique. I mean, they did another album, of course, together, but aside from that, you just can't get it anywhere else. You know, this thing just happened there. And it's just beautiful.
The scene is set for dreaming. Love's knocking at the door. But oh my heart, I'm reluctant to start. For we've been fooled before. The night is like a lovely tune. Beware, my foolish heart. How white the ever constant moon. Take care, my foolish heart. There's a line between love and fascination. It's hard to see on an evening such as this. For they both give the very same sensation. When you're lost in the magic of a kiss, her lips are much too close to mine. Beware, my foolish heart. But should our eager lips combine, then let the fire start. For this time it isn't fascination or a dream that will fade and fall apart. It's love. This time it's love, my foolish heart.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Here's Silva and Staney from their CD, Christmas with Silva and Staney.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus is coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground. When old Santa gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus has got a toy for every good girl and good little boy. Santa's a great big bundle of joy. When he's coming down the chimney down,
he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll have a big fat pack upon his back, and lots of goodies for you and for me. So leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick. It's the holiday season,
with a hoop-de-doo and dickery-dock.
And don't forget to hang up your socks,
'cause just exactly at 12 o'clock
he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney.
Thank you.
of goodies for you and for me. So leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick hanging on the Christmas tree. It's the holiday season.
With a whoop-de-doo and hickory top.
And don't forget to hang up your sock.
'Cause just exactly at 12 o'clock, he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true. Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
May the calendar keep ringing. Happy holidays to
I've been listening to my conversation with Icelandic vocalist, instrumentalist, Steini Teague. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Heidoff. You can listen to Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired on all podcast platforms and at jazzinspired.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Casham on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is sponsored in part with generous support from our listeners and Page at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit page63main.com. Please tell your friends about Jazz Inspired and help us spread the word. For more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com.